Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at Harrisonburg and our Elkton campus at 9 or 10:30 a.m. or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45 a.m. Explore to celebrate recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Well, good morning. Y'all thought I took the day off, didn't you? Well, it's so good to see you all. For those of you who don't know me, oh, kids, you're dismissed. Thank you for reminding me where you're supposed to go. I hope you have a great time over in Kid City. Give your teacher a high five for me, okay? Did you hear me? Yeah, they're like, I'm gone. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Pastor Jeanette Berge. On a Sunday, I'm typically leading worship. So this is quite a treat and an absolute honor and privilege to be able to bring to you God's word. However, before we get too far into it, I thought I'd tell you a little secret about myself, and maybe it's not so much of a secret. Can you believe I've been here almost a year already, which is crazy. It's gone so fast. August, it'll be a year. So you may not know this about me. I don't have an athletic bone in my body. I do not have an athletic bone in my body. Give me a baseball, a basketball, a soccer ball, whatever. I will struggle to throw it, to kick it, to hit it, to shoot it. It just won't happen. I'm just not coordinated that way. But somehow in the fifth grade, I thought it would be really cool if I would go and play softball. My neighbor played softball, and I went to go see one of her games, and when I saw it, I thought, I can do that. I can put on the uniform. I can hit the ball and catch the ball. So I begged my parents to sign me up the following season, and I was so excited. I got the cute uniform. I thought, I can do this, right? So as I was a proud, let's look at this picture. I was a proud plaza hair cutter, all right? That was the name of our team. That's who sponsored our team. If you can't pick me out, I'm the one with the little boy on her lap. That's me. I was about 10, 11 years old. That's my little brother. He got in on the team picture there. So I was so proud to be a plaza hair cutter. I wore the uniform, and I played, you know, and I thought, man, I was kind of confused after a few games, though, because my coach kept putting me out in right field, right? And I was like, no balls ever go out here. And this is like perfectly wasted good talent, just standing out here in right field where no balls ever go, you know? And I thought, man, I got to get on my coach's good side. So I realized that if the coach liked you and she thought you were good, she would give you a nickname, right? So there were girls on my team, they were Slugger, Hot Shot, right? Cannon, Crazy Legs, Hollywood. I was like, I got to get me a nickname, right? So I come in after one game of playing right field where no balls ever went. And my coach looks at me and she says, Jeanette, that was a good game. That was good playing. I was like, thanks. I didn't know what I did because nothing happened, right, in right field. She goes, that was a real good game, Lala. And I was like, Lala, I got myself a nickname. I was like, I'm good, right? She must think I'm awesome. So I was a little confused because I thought, Lala, why is she giving me the name Lala? So I was like, Coach, thanks for the nickname. That's awesome. Where'd you get Lala from, you know? And she's like, well, every time I look in right field, I see you're dancing and you're out in Lala land. See, in the fifth grade, I thought, if I wear the cleats, if I have the hat, if I wear the uniform, I must be a good softball player. player, and it wasn't quite like that. I had no self-awareness that I was actually not a good ball player at all until the name Lala. No one ever told me, Jeanette, don't do this for a living, right? Don't put your heart and soul into this. You're just not good at it. So thank you, coach, for reminding me and letting me know that I was not a good softball player. But isn't it strange that we can sometimes be wrong about ourselves, right? We could be wrong about ourselves. I feel like this is the case in singing sometimes, right? There are people who are certain they can sing, but the truth is a little different. So take a look at these early episodes of American Idol when folks thought they too were as good a singer as I was a softball player, maybe. They thought they were better. Go ahead.
I stay up and think of you, and I wish on a star that somewhere you are thinking of me too.
God bless America, my home, sweet home.
Why do you ask him move heaven and earth to prove his love has worth?
My people's girl.
Ouch. It's intriguing to consider how many individuals navigate life seemingly unaware of their own blind spots, right? So those of you who have studied psychology may know of the Dunning-Kruger effect. Has anybody ever heard of the Dunning-Kruger effect? No? All right, well, let me teach you something new. In 1999, psychologist David Dunning and Justin Kruger conducted a now famous study where participants took a test and they assessed their ability. It was on grammar, humor, logical reasoning. So they assessed their ability, and then after they were done with the test, they were asked to compare how well they did on the test to the rest of their peers. And they found that those who did poorly on the test thought they did a phenomenal job, or that they did better than their peers. But those who actually did a really good job on their test thought that they could have done better, and they rated themselves as not doing as well as their peers. They underestimated or doubted their ability. So they concluded that those who are less knowledgeable or experienced in an area tend to believe that they are much more competent in the area than they are, and the opposite is true. Those who were experienced and knowledgeable in an area tended to underestimate or doubt their ability, right? So we sometimes don't know ourselves as much as we do think that we do, right? So we are in the middle of this series, The Power of Prayer. Why am I telling you all this? I promise I'm getting to it. We have been looking at The Power of Prayer, the series, and we've been specifically focused on Psalm 139, right? And if you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and open them up, or you can join us on YouVersion events as we have one set up every week. So let's go ahead and let's read Psalm 139 together. When I say together, I really mean together. Let's read it out loud together. We've been looking at it for a few weeks, so we should go ahead and read it out loud. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Pastor Billy kicked off our series with the first line of these verses, search me, O God, and know my heart, reminding us that the search isn't easy, but the surgeon is faithful, right? David lists the ways then that God could search our heart. And last week, Pastor Margaret shared with us the importance of trusting God with our whole heart and allowing him to test us so that we would have his peace, and that peace can relieve us of our anxious thoughts. So today we're gonna focus on the next way that the psalmist lists on how our heart needs attention. Verse 24 in the NIV says, See if there is any offensive way in me. We just read that. I love the translation of the NLT. It says this, point out what offends you. Point out what offends you. So why would we pray for God to point something out to us? This is an outright invitation for exploratory surgery of sin. I don't know about you, but oftentimes people don't say, yeah, sure, cut me open, doctor, see what you can find. But in this case, when we're praying this prayer, it's exactly what we're praying. David recognized that his lack of self-awareness, he recognized that, and he said, God, I need you. I need you to make me aware of what it is offends you. Because on my own, I may not know what breaks your heart. And David understood that God knew him better than he knew himself. So how are we going to recognize sin if God doesn't point it out to us? How else was I going to know that I didn't have the talent for softball unless my coach, who knew a lot about softball, would have told me? So David prays this, show me the truth, Lord. Show me the dark inside of me. Show me, Lord, what breaks your heart. Because here's the truth. Sin clouds our vision. Sin clouds our vision. Psalm 119, verse 18. If you click on that slide one more time, another one time, it says this, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. When we ask God to uncover our sins, the Holy Spirit reveals things in our life that breaks our Father's heart. So I wonder how our view of sin would change if we thought of it that way. If we thought of what breaks my Father's heart. I learned early on that if I wanted to follow Jesus, I couldn't ignore my sin. I had to face it. I had to allow God to be honest with me. Augustine writes, our sins don't just keep our minds from seeing the light, they keep our mind from seeing itself. And 1 John 1:18 said, if we claim we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not with us. Dunning, one of the psychologists I talked to you about earlier, the psychologist said, the skills you need to produce the right answer are exactly the skills you need to recognize what the right answer is. He may not realize, but that's pretty biblical, isn't it? Let's look at this Hebrew word for know, because the word know is used several times. Know my anxious thoughts. And this word know is yada, yada. When it says, you know my anxious thoughts, is yada my anxious thoughts. Yada means having an intimate, knowing relationship with God. An intimate, knowing relationship with God. That's so important because apart from that, we can't experience real holiness, which is ultimately what he wants from us, right? And David here is confessing to God and affirming that there is nothing he wants to hide from God. There is nothing he wants to hide from God. Because when God saturates, holiness radiates. I'm going to say that one more time. When God saturates, holiness radiates. Today is Pentecost Sunday, the day that we remember as the day that the disciples experienced the fulfilling of the Holy Spirit, a fulfillment of John's word in John chapter 14, where he said that he would send them an advocate to help them and to be with them forever. The Holy Spirit came on the disciples, and they were able to do things that they couldn't do without the power of the Holy Spirit. Church, that same promise is true for you and for me today. for the Holy Spirit to overwhelm our lives, to drench us, to infiltrate every part of our heart. That same Holy Spirit can do that for us today. And this invitation is what leads us to holiness. We just had a whole series on holiness, and here we are talking about it again. Holiness is asking the Holy Spirit to completely cover and consume every part of your life. And let me tell you, it's both a decision and a process. This prayer is of the same, a decision to invite God in and allowing him to wreck your old ways in order to do something new, something better. So this whole idea of salvation and holiness and the difference between the two, I get it, it's confusing, and I thought it was too, until I taught a children's ministry lesson. And I thought I'd like to share it with you today, because if it helped me understand, I think it'll help you understand too. We have any chocolate milk lovers? Any chocolate milk lovers? Yeah? All right. Who's a chocolate milk lover? Could you come up? Don't tell second service. I totally just... All right. So let's look at this idea of chocolate milk, okay? Our life, if you can imagine, is kind of like, and I don't want you guys to not see it, so let me move this over, okay? Can you all see okay? All right. It's kind of like a glass of just plain old white milk, right? White milk's good. It's good. It's delicious, right? But this is our life, and if you can imagine the white milk, the white in the milk is our sin, okay? And when we ask God to come into our life, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, he comes and he resides in us. Do you like a lot of chocolate? I
can't drink all of it.
Well, I need to let them see it, so you don't need to drink all of it, I promise. And this is good. I mean, if you could take a sip of that for me. Chris, take a sip of that. Don't drink a whole thing, just a little sip. Do you notice there's a little bit of chocolate in there? A little bit, right? But it still kind of tastes like
white milk,
right? You can tell there's something in it, though, right? All right, that's kind of what it's like. Like, we accept Christ as our Savior, and let me tell you, the truth is we change, right? And we look a little different. We might sound a little different. But God wants so much more for us. He doesn't want to just sit at the bottom and kind of hang out, right? He doesn't want to just reside in us. He does want to, but he wants more from us. But because I have an intimate relationship with Christ, I pick up the spoon and I say, "Search me, God, and know my anxious thoughts. And reveal to me anything that offends you." Now, as this chocolate kind of gets distributed in the white milk, I want you to think about this for a second. In my family, in my finances, in my relationships, in my job, in my generosity, in my school. And before you know it, if you allow it, if you allow the Holy Spirit to stir in your heart, he goes from just being resident in your life to being president of your life. Now, Chris, I want you to take a sip of that chocolate milk. Does it taste like chocolate milk? It's chocolate. Can y'all give Chris a hand for me? Do you want to take it with you and drink it? Church, I know it's a simple illustration, but it's powerful. Because as the Holy Spirit points out my sin, I become a whole new creation. White milk and chocolate milk, it ain't the same thing. It tastes better. And when our prayer asks God to search and test and uncover our sin, we're asking God to stir our heart and make us holy, a whole new state, one that's sweeter and delicious. David desired the presence of God, and in this prayer, he sought to eradicate anything in his own life that might destroy the life-giving relationship that he had and wanted. Because here's the truth. Hidden sin doesn't exist. You might try. It's kind of like you can run, but you can't hide. David trusted God. The God who has known us from the beginning is the God who has watched us all along. And he has seen our comings, he has seen our goings, he has seen our faithfulness, he has seen our unfaithfulness, yet no matter what, he has remained present with us. He continued to pursue us. He continued to want to make us more like him because God knows us and we can trust him. And there is no such thing as hidden sin. So why in the world would we keep trying to hide it from him? He knows. Asking God to examine our hearts allows us to pursue his will. Several years ago, I have two daughters, if you don't know that. One's 20, getting married at the end of the month already, if you can believe it. But my youngest daughter, Emily, she was pretty young when this happened. I walked into the laundry room, and it smelled really good, right? Like fresh, downy. And I walk into the room. I was looking for my sneakers, and I found that they were in the laundry room. And I went to go put on my sneaker. One was fine. The other one was completely filled with downy fabric softener. She just wanted to know how much downy can fit in mom's shoe. And so I said, I knew it was Emily, right? Moms, you just know, right? And I called Emily in, and I'm like, Em, did you put downy in mom's sneaker? And she was like 4, right? She looked at me, and she's like, no. Like, she had no idea what I was talking about. And I said, Em, did you put downy in mom's sneaker? And she's like, uh-uh, wasn't me. She was so convincing, Brian believed her. But I knew better. I knew it was her, and there was no sense in her hiding it. And if you're a parent, you already know why I thought that the truth was important, even in this really silly situation. It helps me remember why God wants to search me and know the truth about me and help me in the process. The Holy Spirit is our helper. And there's no such thing as hidden sin. God has already seen it, so there's no sense in hiding it. Paul writes to the church of Ephesus in Ephesians 2:10, and he reminds them of this, and he reminds us of this. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. This is an older video I'm about to show you, and I hesitated showing it to you because I thought maybe you've seen it already, but every time I watch it, God speaks to me. I hope he will to you too. Take a look.
Ephesians 2:10 says we are God's masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I look in the mirror, I don't see a masterpiece, but I want to. So I go to God and I pray, Dear Heavenly Father, would you do whatever it takes to mold me into the image of your Son? Make me your masterpiece. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Hi.
Oh, who are you?
I'm God, you said the prayer, so here I am, that's how it works.
You're not God.
No, I am.
Okay, if you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is a very short book, it only has 5 chapters.
Why is it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
You are God. What's that about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece. This is the process.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Let's get busy.
Okay.
I'm going to bring up things in your life that don't belong in your life. And start right here. Your anger.
Ow!
I created the emotion, but you use it in the wrongest of ways. You compare yourself to others instead of me. And you lie. You tell little white lies. You're so afraid of confrontation. You're becoming a people pleaser.
Okay, time out. I think you've done some really good work, and I'm looking pretty good right now.
When you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away, because ultimately, you and other people need to see my son.
Okay, but when I look like Jesus, people get uncomfortable, and I don't think I'm supposed to do that.
So what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
No, what I'm saying is you've grown me to here. Maybe we take a break from each other for a while, all right? And then I'll stay here, and then you come back, and we can grow some more.
You never just take a break from me. You're either moving toward me or away from me, but you never just plateau. What you're doing is called control. Do you want to control things in your life, or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control, chisel.
No, chisel.
All right, here we go.
Can we chisel where I want?
That's called control.
Okay, sorry.
This right here, that secret sin, that thing that you run to whenever you're hurting, you're angry, you're lonely, you're tired. Do you want to keep rearranging this in your life, or do you want me to chisel it out?
Chisel it.
It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's your whole life.
This hurts, okay? I don't think you understand this pain.
Don't talk to me about pain. I know all about pain. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And there are things that you are doing in your life that are insane. Allow me to chisel them out of your life.
I know, but I've let you down so many times, God.
No. You were never holding me up.
Okay, then chisel away. But just be prepared for what you're gonna find in there, because I know who's inside there. God, I get up every morning, and I hate what I see in the mirror, because inside is a scared, stupid kid. And I try, but I can't be who everybody else expects me to be. God, I can't even be who I wanna be, much less who you created me to be. So chisel away, and just know what you're gonna find in there.
You have listened to so many voices, so many critics for far too long that are not from me, and you've bought into the lie. You think you're junk, don't you? When you lay your head down at night, at the end of the day, you think you're junk. I don't take time to make junk. I want to show you something about my love. Reach in your back pocket.
It's a page from a notebook when I was in college. How'd you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead and read it.
Dear God, did I hear you right? You said you want to use me. But I feel really useless. But if you can take this life, this mess of a life I have, and do with it what you want, I love you, God.
I love you, too. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at.
It's gonna be tough.
Yes, but you bought into the lie thinking everything was gonna be easy when you said yes to me. There will be trouble in this world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I want you to do something. I want you to look out there, and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy is God's?
No, not the way you see yourself, or you try so desperately for others to see you. But maybe for the first time in your life, the way I made you, the way I created you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
And so are you. You are an original masterpiece.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Here's the bottom line. Seeking insight from the divine within reveals the masterpiece where his will begins. The more we allow God to chisel away our sin, the more we will be formed into his image, his original masterpiece. Before Pastor Adrian's last Sunday at Church of the Nazarene, he took a day to take all of us pastors out on an outing. It was a field trip I don't think I will ever forget. It was so impactful. He took us to the pottery workshop of Mr. Dan Lee. Now, I've always loved pottery. I admire it because as much as I don't have an athletic bone in my body, I also don't have an artistic when it comes to like art in my body. So I watched in awe, and I'll never forget it because not only did I learn step by step how pottery is created, but the images and the words that Dan Lee shared with us as he took us step by step through the process spoke to me so deeply. This is a video that Pastor John had made while we were there and shared it with us. So as I was preparing this message, I knew I would need Mr. Dan's help. See, each piece of beautiful pottery, whether it's a bowl or a mug or a vase, all starts with one big block of clay. If you look up front, I have them here in front, or I have one on the side there. It's just one old, big old block of clay. And the more that's cut away from it, the more it starts to become what it is the potter wanted it to be. The more it's cut, the potter's intentions of what it wanted it to be starts to be revealed. It takes a while. He kind of showed us like those baking videos where like they take it out of the oven and you're like, ta-da, here it is in 2 minutes. It doesn't work that way. It takes days for one piece of pottery to be complete. And it's messy. I mean, his hands were a mess. But in the end, it was a beautiful work of art. Absolutely gorgeous. Beside me on the tables, you'll find a block of clay. And as you pray the prayer this morning, I want to give you time to just come up, cut off a piece of the block of clay. And as you form the clay in your hands, just use a spoon. It's pretty soft yet. Your hands might get a little dirty. There are some napkins up here if you need. Nothing that won't wash off immediately. But as you scoop a little bit of clay with the spoon, I want you to pray this prayer, Psalm 139. Lord, point out anything in me that offends you. This is a great opportunity to lament over the sins you know. Ask God to show you the sins that you don't know, and then submit yourself and your sin to God. And recognize your hope doesn't come from knowing yourself, but it comes from knowing God. The worship team is going to sing a song that's just beautiful. And I'm going to invite you that as they sing this song, would you hear the lyrics as you pray and ask God to search you? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you make a way, that you don't just come and kind of let us stay the way we are, but you have so much more intention for us. Intentions to change us to be more like you, the way you intended us to be. Continue to create in us what it is you want to see in us. Lord, would we be submissive to your will and give you permission to form us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button to stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.